So I'll be presenting a topic that's related to my research at U of M. And I'll just start a little bit by showing something that's also related to this. It's like Mohr scale. Example of a motor skill, but there's some people who actually make money with their motor skills. So for instance, Tiger Woods. So that's to get to his point, you have to practice a lot, obviously, but one thing that you all need is a brain. So when you think about brain, usually you think about thoughts, about talking, the ability to smell things. But all of that, in a way, it's related to movement. So for instance, if you're talking, you have to move your tongue, you have to also control the air. And when you smell something, you could also try to go towards the source of the smell. So in a way, you could say that the brain, the main role of the brain would be to move. So including golf. And the way the brain is organized, you have different networks. So two of them are declarative and procedural memory systems. And both of them have to be in balance for you to be able to perform certain tasks. And you can see all each of them as a network. It's like a road or like a highway. They, a lot of you have different communications, and you also can sometimes have interference. So for instance, like if you think about a road that's sometimes gonna cross a railroad track, but then you have to let one of them can go, but the other one has to wait. So it's the same system, the same thing for the brain. You have information that can circulate, but sometimes it's going to block the information coming from a different network. So the first of the systems I'm going to be talking about is the declarative memory system. So what do you think it could be?
Talking about stuff.
Sorry, what?
Talking about stuff.
Yeah. So it would be something you could use, for instance, when you are taking a test, you will like know a date, or you will know a place, or you know that Paris is the capital of France.
Or you're talking in Germany.
Sorry, what?
Or you're talking in Germany.
Oh, yeah. So it's a memory of facts, of things that you could, for when you answer the question, what? And that's something you can talk about, you can say it out loud, and it's something that you're more conscious about it. And for instance, it will be information about your birthday or the phone number you're memorizing. So back to learning a motor skill, if you are in that position, it's usually early on when you don't really know how to do something. So for instance, when you're not really good at golf like myself. So when you start, you will get instructions from instructor or teacher. So for instance, it would be if you have like put your right hand under your left hand, and that would be part of the declarative memory system. And that's when you don't know yet how to do something really well, and when you need a lot of feedback. So back to our networks. There are different areas in the brain that you're gonna use to, for instance, talk about something, and also to learn a skill, a motor skill. So the first one, So the first area, that would be the frontal part of your brain. So if I'm like the same orientation as the picture, it's like gonna be in this area of your brain. And that's gonna be what you think about it's doing what you think about for the brain for it. So it will be more conscious, it will be making decisions, it's gonna be planning. So for instance, there's a famous case of someone who got a spike or something across his brain, and he lost his ability to kind of socialize, and he got really frustrated, and he was not able to plan very well. So that's why you need this area.
And then, can you speak into the microphone, please?
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. You can take it off the stand if you
okay.
Find that helpful.
Yeah, it's too high. Okay, thank you. So the next area is going to be parietal. So again, if I'm like in the same position, it's going to be towards this part. And that area is going to be necessary if you are, it's going to be useful to combine different sensory information. So in the case of golf, it will be, I know where the hole is, I know that there is wind, so I should be take that into account. I'll know where my body is in space. So that's what this part of the brain does. And then there's the last part, which is mediotemporal. So it's going to be more about memory, so memorizing facts or memorizing, in this case, instruction. And they all have to communicate together to be able to use their declarative memory system. And now the second one, the procedural memory system. So any ideas of what that could be? Yeah, so it would be doing, for instance, it could be how you make a movement and you're not really aware of what you're doing. And it could be also for languages. If you think about grammar, that's part of the procedural memory system. But the vocabulary would be declarative. So yeah, it would be harder to describe. It's not necessarily something you'd be able to say, oh, I'm doing this exactly. So if we go back to our golf example, it's for experts when it's later in learning and you already know how to do it. And you'll have like certain abilities. So for instance, you will know how to move and you'll know how fast your arms are. Well, you'll know how to move your arms, but you won't be able to say exactly, well, I'm moving my arms this way or my torso is rotating this much. So it's all automatic, it's unconscious. And okay, again, we have a new network and new areas. So the first area will be the basal ganglia. So it's going to be linking different movement together. So when you know how to do something perfectly, you don't have separate movements. You have them all together. And then the second one will be premotor. And it's going to be deciding kind of which motor pattern you have to use. And finally, the last one. It's the motor part, and it's what's going to send the information to your muscles. So this area is going to be activated. It's going to, the message is going to go down to your spinal cord, and then you're going to be able to move. So that's the picture that I was missing earlier. So it's in a way, you have the declarative system that's going to be preventing the procedural system. But I'm saying that, but you don't have any proof of that. So I'm going to show it to you a little bit. So I have a shoe, and I need two people. Who's willing? Okay, one, two, whoever. You guys know how to tie your shoelaces, right? You sure? Okay. So I want you to describe exactly what you would do to tie your shoe without giving, like, just talking about what your hands are doing, and you can't move it. Well, you can move it, but he's not going to see it. So we'll see if you're going to be able to do it.
Take the right lace in your right hand, left lace in your left hand. Cross them with the right lace on top.
Just your hands, not the result. Just what your hands are doing exactly. It's like just procedural memory.
I'm going to do my best with this. Can I mention the laces?
Yeah.
Okay. Right lace, right hand, left lace, left hand. Cross right hand over left. Drop laces. Grab the lace that has the end of it on the left. Pull it. Use your right hand.
I'll give you one more 30 seconds.
Buy sandals.
No! Okay, I'll look. You were actually really good participants. I would be worried if you could do it. So the point was to see that even with something that's really simple, I'm pretty sure you guys can do it when you are not asked by someone weird like me to do it through someone else. So it's really hard to actually, it's actually really hard when you decompose a task to actually do it. And it's going to bring me to something that's called choking. I don't know if do you know what I'm talking about when it comes to motor skills? Yeah, you want to go? Yeah, so it's not this type of choking. It's a little bit different. It's when someone is really good at something and all of a sudden they cannot do it when it's in a context where it's really stressful. For instance, like the Olympics, like some athletes might not be able to do what they usually are able to do and do what it's called choke. So the more like formal definition is performance decrement under pressure situation. So it's the link with this and what I just showed with the shoe is that when you're thinking too much about what you're doing, all of a sudden you will break down the skill that you normally would have. So you know how to do something, but also you're like thinking about each individual step, and then it's impossible to do it normally. Oh yeah, I forgot. And so if you ever play sports with someone, if you want them to kind of not be able to do it and you want to beat them, you can just ask them, what are you doing today like to do it, to be so good? Like, what's your exact movement? And you make them describe, and hopefully for you it's going to help because they're not going to be able to do it anymore. Yeah, it's bad. Okay, so how can you prevent it? So that's more related to my research. So one thing that people have said if you want to prevent choking is to do a dual task. So they had people who were, for instance, really good soccer players trying to count a tone. So it would be like high pitch, low pitch, like do something that uses the declarative memory system. And so when by doing that, they were not overthinking their skill. They're just busy doing something else. And then they're able to do their to perform really well. So it would be even better than actually them focusing on what they're doing. But that's not really practical. You cannot really ask people to practice counting tones, or you can also make people do arithmetic. So you're not going to have athletes who are going to start doing math on the field to like be better. It's not really, really practical. So there was a theory that was being developed that's helping people by making them focus on something that's external. So an element of the environment. So in the case of golf, it would be, for instance, so instead of thinking like, oh, my hand is doing this movement, it would be to focus on the end of the club, for instance, like what's the movement. And that's also sometimes what instructor would say, just like try to make a move it in a straight line instead of say, move your hands in a straight line. So that helps for performance. So my research, I'm just going to not tell you that much about it because it will be like, it would take too long, although I have it. So what I focus on is to figure out what happens in the brain. So remember earlier I said the motor cortex is the part of the brain that's sending information to your muscles. So this is this part of your brain, this is a strip. And we're trying to measure the activity in there and see what happens when you change the instruction or when you make people do certain tasks, like a declarative task. And that's a way to connect behavior and physiology. So a lot of studies are done either just behavioral or just physiology, so we try to connect them. So yeah, if you want to read about more boring stuff, you can look at our website. It's the Human Sensory Motor Lab, and we work with human participants. So that's me, obviously, and that's one of our participants. And what we use as a technique is called TMS. So it's this tool here. So I get to zap people's brain a little bit, not really. So we use a current, and it creates a magnetic field, and that way it hits the brain, and we have a movement. So I can make people have an involuntary twitch. Yeah, some people think it's a little bit weird, but it's fine. They all survive, so we don't have any. So far, like I have some people working with me here tonight, so like if we have dead people, like it's not my fault, it's the technique. So roughly that was what we work on, and if you want to hear more about it, I'm presenting soon, and that's the title, The Influence of Declarative Memory upon Human Motor Cortex Physiology. So that'll be a little bit more technical, but that's kind of it's still related to what I presented today and the interference of one and the other. So when people say you're not using all your brain, it's not necessarily the best. You're not supposed to use all your brain, or you're having a seizure, right? It's epilepsy. So, which is actually the side effect of our technique. So you don't really want to have that happening to people. Okay, if you want, we can also, you can be a participant, and I promise we won't give you a seizure. That's never happened, at least so far. You could be the first one, but we'll try to avoid that. But yeah, if you want to be a participant, you can help us do some research, and yeah, that's about it. Thank you.